Just the last few weeks, you may know that we are talking about the Ten Commandments. This build on blessing series. We're building our lives on the Word of God. We're establishing our lives on the Word of God. And so, doing our best to bring the Ten Commandments into focus with good understanding, with proper understanding. And I say this often because there's always new ears listening, but if you've missed any one of these weeks, you can go to thechurchcov.com and kind of listen in your earbuds. It's an audio, no video there. Or you can go to YouTube and you can find the Church Covington there. Go ahead and subscribe so that you get the alerts and notifications for that. But you can catch up on any of our services there. But today I want to talk about the fourth commandment. Each of these commandments speak to us because they were given for us. But I don't mind telling you, this one will get every single one of us today. We'll all feel this one today because this is the Sabbath commandment. This is a commandment about rest. Did you know that God commanded us to rest? Did you know God commanded us to take a Sabbath and to take a break? And I don't know how well you're doing with that. I've got a little quiz that maybe will help you determine how you are doing in the rest department, how you're doing in the Sabbath department. Here's the first question. You can answer this rhetorically, but do you use weekends to catch up on unfinished work? Do you use weekends to catch up on unfinished work? Here's another one. Do you feel as tired on Monday mornings as on Friday afternoons? That's a big one. When you do get a chance to relax, do you feel guilty? If you get a chance to relax, do you feel guilty? Have you ever been called a workaholic? Ever been called a workaholic? If you answered yes to any one of those Sabbath quiz questions, you need rest. You need proper Sabbath in your life because this fourth commandment is what God says about taking a day off. It's the last time you were able to take a day off. And I want you to notice, this is not what the boss says because the boss is probably saying, nope, we have no days off for you. Nope, we have no breaks for you. This is not even what the doctor says. The doctor that's saying, hey, you got to get out from under some of this stress. You've got to get away from some of this that is bringing anxiety. This is not what the therapist is saying. This is what God says about rest. To the degree that this fourth commandment is the longest of the ten, he literally devotes three entire verses to bring about this commandment, to speak this commandment. God says more about this one than he does any of the others. That tells me it's important. Tells me we need to pay careful attention. Tells the preacher he needs to do better. The hearer today, every one of us need to do better in the Sabbath department. Let me read the fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That is the fourth commandment. Those three verses that the Lord devotes to our rest. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Keep this day holy. Because what happens, the Sabbath becomes an antidote to burnout. To keep you from pushing too far. To keep you from overextending. To keep you from losing your mind, both figuratively and literally. To keep you from just feeling so anxious and so anxiety-ridden, you know, that you just feel lost and you're not getting anything accomplished because you're stressed. The Sabbath is an antidote to burnout, meaning if we live this fourth commandment, if we apply this fourth commandment to our lives, then ultimately we are going to be okay. That doesn't mean that life is not going to get stressful. That doesn't mean that there are not going to be hard, long, challenging days. All of that is going to be true. All of that is going to be a reality. But if I know I've got a break coming, I know that by the end of this week, I know that at some point in this 7-day period, I am going to have the opportunity to unplug and to reset and to rest and to catch my breath. I know that everything is going to be okay. But I've got to obey this. I've got to live this. I've got to follow through with what it is that God has commanded. So let me take you through a little bit of the context and the understanding, because that's what we've been doing with each of these commandments. We want them to make sense to our 2025 context and what the commandment means for us today, how we should live this or what this should look like. But what is the Sabbath? I think you've ascertained from our reading today that it is one day a week. It is one day out of seven that God wants you to treat special. There's a lot of variance in how you define special or how you choose to treat that day special. There are entire religions, we'll talk about some of that command you to live the Sabbath in a particular way or do particular things. I'm not legalistic with any of that. I believe it's something that you can determine. You and the Lord can work out. But get back to the root understanding of what this is. The Hebrew word is Shabbat, which means rest. It's a literal day of rest. And he said this should happen every week. How are we doing with that? How's that going? Anybody under conviction yet? Are you getting a day? Are you getting a half day? Are you finding an hour or two here or there? Are you getting 5 minutes by yourself that you can just unplug and reset? No, the truth is most of us are struggling with our Sabbath. Most of us are struggling with our rest. The same people, incidentally, that are struggling with their Sabbath are the same exact people that are saying, you know what, I am so stressed out. I feel so frazzled in my mind because those two things go together, no rest and wrecked emotions, no rest and overextended minds and no rest. All of those things, they seem to work together. Here's another question. Why did God create the Sabbath? Mark 2:27, Jesus speaking, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, I didn't create a law and then create a man who could uphold that law. I I created man and then instituted a law that's going to benefit the man. I created the person and then I set a rule. I gave a decree. I made a commandment that is going to make mankind's life better. The scribes had a list of 1,521 things you could not do on the Sabbath. Should have had that number put on the screen so that you could see how big that number is. 1,521 things you could not do on the Sabbath. Things like prepare a meal. You couldn't prepare a meal. You couldn't move a lamp. You couldn't light a fire. You couldn't even tie a knot. You couldn't travel more than 3,000 feet from your home. And even in modern Jerusalem, in modern Jewish Sabbath-keeping traditional beliefs, they still have the unusual and peculiar rules. No hot food on the Sabbath. In housing buildings or even in hotels, if you happen to be in a hotel on the Sabbath, they have what is known as the Sabbath elevator. It means there is a setting that they turn on every Sabbath so that the elevator stops at every single floor so that you, the Sabbath keeper, do not have to push the button to choose your floor. It's going to choose it for you. That way you can keep the Sabbath by not using any electricity, by not pushing a button. And while we laugh at those things, don't think that Christians are exempt from adding man-made rules that miss God's original intent. Because what happens is our rules become terrible substitutes. Jesus said, this is for your benefit. I didn't create all of these rules and then create a man who could obey those rules. No, I created a man and then instituted some ordinance. I set some parameters around mankind for your benefit. These things are going to bless your life. And if you build your life on these things, then it's going to make a difference. So when is the Sabbath? We're learning what the Sabbath is. We're learning why God created the Sabbath. But when is the Sabbath? In keeping with the commandment, the Sabbath is one day per week. Again, interesting to me that the three major religions of the world, Christians, Muslims, Jews, they all use different days to honor the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the Jews observed Saturday as Sabbath. In the New Testament, Christians observed Sunday as Sabbath. The change from Saturday to Sunday was mostly in honor of the resurrection. There's some history there, and there's certainly some debate there, but it was the early Christians saying, our Lord rose on Sunday, and so we want that to be the day of the week that we celebrate him and honor him, and we still, in most part, honor that today. Just personal note, Sunday is not the best Sabbath for me. I'm working on Sunday. It's a day of trying to get things done. And so I've got to push a lot of buttons on Sunday. There's not an elevator here that says just get on and we'll get, it doesn't work. So you got to find the day. You got to find the time. It's not about an exact day. It's not about this day only. You've got to find the time that works for you. I've got a Facebook friend. He's an acquaintance in real life, but he's in ministry and is a pastor, but somewhere a number of years ago, he got into this Sabbath keeping, and Saturday is the true Sabbath, and so they have church on Friday nights, and then Sabbath, they keep all of these 1,521 laws and stay close to home and all of those things. And then politics began to ramp up, and he kind of fancied himself a part-time politician guy, and then he kept promoting that on his social media, and this is probably entirely inappropriate to be telling a story like this from social media, but too late. I'm already halfway in, and you're really interested to know where I'm going. But all of a sudden, he started getting some invites to speak at political rallies, and guess what? They happened to be on Saturday. And all of a sudden, what he was putting all of us in hell for just a couple of months ago suddenly was okay. There's always inconsistency. It's hard to keep 1,521 rules. It's hard to do it all exact. It's hard to get it all just right. So this is not about a particular day. Sunday may not be the best day for you, and yet I'm going to enjoy this church service today, and I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to be out in the lobby and just want to talk, and I'll be the last one to leave the building today. I'll just enjoy fellowship, and then I'm going to go to lunch and enjoy lunch, and eventually I'll get to the house, and we'll just relax and kind of veg out. I don't know who's playing football tonight, but maybe I'll watch some of that. I'll just enjoy the rest of the day. I don't know what day works for you. I don't know what time or what grouping of hours work for you. I just know that we need to get some genuine rest in our lives so that we can be who God has called us to be. God didn't command a certain day. He just said, I want there to be a day that you give to me and that you give to yourself. Paul teaches about this in Romans 14. We're catching it already in progress, verse 5, but he said, on questions of this kind, everyone must decide for himself. If you have special days for worshiping the Lord, you are trying to honor him. You are doing a good thing. Pastor Darrell, I have to work some Sundays. Does that mean I'm breaking God's law? No. You may be off on Monday, and so you pull up the service on YouTube, and you sit and you worship and you enjoy, and you take communion with us, and you have your Sabbath. You have your time, and you experience the good things of the Lord. Paul deals with this subject extensively because there was a fight in the early church about what day was going to be Sabbath and what was going to be allowed on the Sabbath. And he said, you know what? You are free to choose. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The bottom line, the principle is more important than the specific day. In the New Testament, they often refer to this as the Lord's Day. What matters most is that we keep it holy, is that we honor the Lord. And ensuring the holy part is much harder than determining the day. That's where the real struggle is. How do I keep this holy? What does it mean to keep something holy? It means it is set apart. It means it is special. It means it is unique. It is reserved. There should be something different about your Sabbath day. There should be a change of pace, because that's what the Sabbath is and is intended to be. So let's get personal. Let's get practical for just a moment. What should you do on your Sabbath? How can you keep your Sabbath holy? I'm going to work through a few of these today, ideas. Maybe you're taking notes and you want to write them down, because I promise you this is something you can spend time in devotion and take an inventory in your own heart and life to see how you're doing in this regard. But you can use your Sabbath, number one, you can use the day to rest your body. Use the day to rest your body. Remember, the word Sabbath means rest. Rest does not always mean pulling the covers and shutting the light. Rest does not always mean catching a nap. Psalm 127 and 2 says that the Lord grants sleep to those he loves. There's a lot of people that struggle with their sleep. I believe oftentimes that is as spiritual as it is physical. I'm no doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but I believe so many of the challenges we have are as spiritual as they are anything else. And while we're letting doctors practice on us and throw more medication at us and try this and do this, what if we pray about some of those things and say, wait a minute, Lord, let me just see what's happening, because I need sleep and I need rest. And God uses himself as an example. I promise you, God was not tired. God does not get tired. But the Bible says that he rested from his work of creation on the seventh day. It seems that today, in 2025, we have more work-saving devices. Now we have faster processes and shortcuts, and they tell us AI is just making everything so simple for us, and yet we are working more, and we are stressed more, and we are overwhelmed more, and we are exhausted more. We cannot be consumed by our career. Our bodies, believe it or not, are not built for non-stop work. Ecclesiastes 10:15 in the Good News Translation. Ooh, this Good News translator is a smart aleck, but he says only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. The better question is, what's happening or not happening at home that you are running from? Why is home not a safe place? Why is home not a sanctuary? Why is home not a place of peace and comfort? Why do you want to spend all day and all night in an office? There's work to do. These deadlines are not going to meet themselves. We call it productivity, but we're losing other things that count. We're losing other things that matter. We may be making money. We may be adding to our bottom line, but we have other things that are falling apart, other things that are cracking under pressure and strain and stress. The principle is simple. Whatever it is you do for a living, stop it for one day a week. Leave your briefcase in the car that one day and be present. Rest. The experts say that reasonably spaced work breaks actually increase productivity. The old saying is, you'll break the bow if you always keep it bent. Because it puts stress, it puts strain to constantly be on, constantly be engaged, to never be able to turn it off even for a few moments. David said it like this, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I didn't really want to lie down, but he made me lie down. I didn't think it was the best spot for rest. I figured I could press on another few miles. I could get another few hours. I could drive through the night, but he made me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside still waters. I'm not even really thirsty right now. I'm not even really hungry right now, but he made me go and sit down beside still waters. Let me ask you something. Has God ever made you lie down? Has he ever forced you to rest? Usually that comes through sickness or whatever it is that has to slow our pace, that has to pause us, that has to hold us where we are. Again, these deadlines will not wait. Somebody has to do this work, And I hear the Lord saying, they'll wait on me. They'll wait on me. They'll stop for me. If there's any parents in this room and you've ever raised a child through their terrible twos, you've said something along these lines. If this baby ain't had his nap. You know what's wrong with her? She's not had her nap today. I know I'll be there in a little while, but these kids are sleeping and I'm not about to wake them up, because if they don't get their nap out, then the rest of the day is ruined. You commanded rest as a parent. You demanded rest as a parent. My mom would say we were going to go lay down. It didn't matter if we stared at the ceiling. We were going to lay down and we were not going to get up. And if we got up, we were going to get something whipped. It was a forced kind of rest. I'm not sure that anybody really rested, but maybe it was my mom that was resting. But either way, you're going to get this nap out. And if you read your Bible, Jesus took breaks. And you know what? He did not feel any guilt for taking the breaks. If Jesus took a day off, who do we think we are? If Jesus will come apart and say, hey, disciples, I know the crowd's there, but I'm going to the other side for a little while because I'm gonna catch some rest. I'm going to take a break. If Jesus will live by that principle, who do I think I am to think that I got to do this 24 hours a day and everything's going to fall apart if I don't have my hand in it? It doesn't work. There's two types of fatigue. There's physically tired, which is tired muscles, and then there's spiritually tired, which is tired emotions. And speaking of emotions, that leads me to number two. You can use your Sabbath to recharge your emotions. Use the Sabbath to recharge your emotions. I don't know people who are not stressed. Everyone is stressed to the max. It's partly some of our adjustment in small groups and even in. We were trying so hard to get the tab ready for this weekend, and we just kept coming up against, you know, new challenges, and PK's been, you know, 10, 12-hour days, and just been working, and hey, do we is the world going to fall apart if we don't have it ready this Sunday? Is something bad going? I mean, can we just slow down for just a second? We've been pushing hard to get our small groups, and every small group leader that I've been talking to, people that have led groups in the past, Pastor, I really want to. I'm not out, but I'm just stressed right now. I don't know what it is, but life is just lifing, and we just feel this. So we're gonna have small groups, and they're gonna be fantastic. But we're gonna have a fewer small groups that I believe are going to be very, very effective. But I just had to take my hands off and say, you know what? I'm not gonna force this, because somebody needs to recharge their emotions. Someone needs rest. It's okay if our church needs rest. It's okay if our corporate body needs a break. Why can't we just stop what we're doing and just take a deep breath and say, Lord, we're asking you to recharge our emotions. Why? Because stress drains us. Work stress drains us. We're always in a hurry. We find ourselves needing regular doses of inspiration and encouragement. History is interesting to me, but during the French Revolution, I don't know if you know this, but the French abolished Sundays. They just did away with Sundays. We're just going to act like Sundays never existed. It's going to be another day for work. It's going to be another day for productivity. It's going to be another day for war. It's going to be another battle. We're just going to act like Sundays never existed. And literally, history tells us that churches were closed, the buildings were repurposed for other things. Sounds very drastic. It was very drastic. Because after about 20 or so years of that, Napoleon comes along and he reinstated Sundays. You know why? Because the health of the nation had completely collapsed. If you abolish Sunday in your life, if you take away rest in your life, eventually your life is going to collapse. I've met too many people that, oh man, we're behind financially, so I'm gonna start working on Sundays. We're in a tight spot, so I'm just gonna do it for a little while. Hey, it's been 6 months. How long is a little while? Hey, it's been a year. What's going on? Hey, what's happening? I ran into someone this week in one of the stores in town. It's someone that I've been trying to get back to church. Hey, come on, what's going on? I'm coming. And this time it wasn't even about, hey, I'm coming, you'll see me soon. This is my new norm. This is who I am now. I've abolished something in my life. And the collapse has not come yet, but I promise you, you can't remove God from your life and it not bring consequence. It's going to bring consequence. And so let me preach to a bunch of people in this room and online today. Don't wait for the consequence to come. Go ahead and reinstate the spiritual in your life and the holy in your life and worship in your life. Why? Because it will give rest to our weary souls. How do we recharge? I'll give you two ideas. There's quietness. There's quietness because noise pollution is killing all of us. We need some quiet. I've been seeing it lately in the news and online. I can't even tell you exactly where it is, but it's a room. It's a room that is so soundproof. You may have read about this, but they say no one can go in the room and last more than, I don't know if it's a minute or two. It's a very, very small number. But they say the room is so quiet. They've completely taken sound out of it, but that when people go in, if they try to stay any amount of time, they literally feel themselves going crazy because they say you can. It's so quiet that you can hear the blood running through your veins. You can hear, you know, your bones moving and creaking, and that noise is so loud to hear those noises. And I don't know why, but I'm curious. I kind of want to try it. Maybe if there's $1 million reward involved or something, I just want to see if I can last in there for just a few moments. We need quietness. Imagine for a moment how loud God has to be to break through all the other noise in our lives. Imagine how loud he's having to speak to get through to us. Imagine the volume he's having to project. And still he says, you know what, I'm really not going to do that. It's kind of like your parents have said, I'm not going to tell you twice. I'm not going to holler. I hear the Lord saying, I'm not gonna scream loud in your life. It's in the still small voice of the Lord. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I read recently about a safari and the guides that lead the safaris, and I loved this line. They would press in and work hard and make distance. And then they would say, today we will rest so our souls can catch up with our bodies. I love that line. Today we will rest so our souls can catch up with our bodies. There's quietness, and then there's fellowship. We can recharge through fellowship. I know that's a churchy word, but it's when we get together with people of faith because we recharge one another. We encourage each other. We draw strength from being together. Hebrews, the writer, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, he said, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As you see times getting more challenging, as you see the day, this day of difficulty and challenge, as you see that day approaching, we need even more to be in the presence of God and the presence of one another. Because here's what I've learned: everybody doesn't need everyone, but everybody needs someone. Here's the last one. We can use the Sabbath to refocus our spirit. Use the Sabbath to refocus our spirit. Sunday is preeminently a day to worship. It's a day, a time to focus on God and to remember what is really important. It's an opportunity for a spiritual tune-up, to connect. I pray, it's my prayer often, the people of this house, that Sunday is not just an option. Church, the presence of the Lord, it's at the top of my list. I want to be in God's house. I want to be in God's presence. And if you've been around, I think you know by now, I'm not a driver in that way. I'm not. Now you better call me if you're gonna be missing church. I came up that way. I don't like it. You're grown. You're adults. You know how to make good decisions. But I know what works best in my life. And I think I know generally what works best for people. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. That doesn't mean things aren't gonna happen and not gonna get called out and get caught up and, you know, have to work, have a project, have a weekend. But if I'm looking for reasons to miss, what, you mean we have nothing else going on? We got to go to church this week? You mean there's nothing else happening? Surely we can come up with something. No. Flip that. What do you mean they're trying? They want us to do that? No, it's church time. I want to be in church. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to have to be there later. I'll arrive late, but I'm going to go. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord because it's my Sabbath. And I want to use the day to refocus my spirit. Many people use Sunday to take care of their physical and emotional needs and forget the most important need. The culture now says it's Sunday fun day. What once was holy is now holiday. But it's still, as for me in my house, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Because if all we do is work and play and never worship, and you begin to think that's all there is to life, work and play, worship gives us a better perspective. We can relax and we can hear God and we can stay connected to what is everlasting. Jesus asked this question: for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world. So what if you make one more dollar? If you make that dollar at the expense of your own soul. Worship should always come first on our Sabbath. Friday, as my office is closed, Friday is my day that I do my best not to touch church. I love the Lord, but I do my best not to touch church. I'm married to someone who likes to save all of theirs for Friday. This is a true story. Pray for me. And so she may be, hey, I'm trying. Let me not be as close to my phone. Let me not be as near. I had someone get really offended. They stopped coming to our church over this, and it broke my heart. I think Friday was their only day off. So that was their day to, you know, communicate and catch and whatever. And Friday is my day that I'm trying to disconnect. And hey, if you don't mind, reach out on Thursday night. Hit me on Saturday. Let's talk on Sunday. I'm trying to, if at all possible. You say, come on, Pastor Darrell. Couldn't you just, I did it a lot. I had those conversations and those meetings a lot on Fridays. I broke my own rule because I was trying to accommodate. But then when you can't keep accommodating, then people get offended because the enemy wants us to be offended. But if you establish some time and say, all right, this is my boundary. This is where I am because I've got to protect this. Why? Because the Lord said it. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember this day and keep it holy. Again, Jesus, Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm going to recharge you. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to revive you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. We will rest today so our souls can catch up to our bodies. It's a sweet presence of the Lord in this room today, and I believe the Lord can restore even supernaturally. You say, Pastor Darrell, I'm there. I'm stressed out. I'm overwhelmed. Feel all kinds of anxiety in my life. And I believe the Lord in one moment, just as I've seen him heal blind eyes or open deaf ears, I believe the Lord can restore your soul in one moment. Doesn't mean it's going to stay restored if we continue to do the things that got us out of alignment. It's going to take discipline. I told you at the outset, this is going to challenge every single one of us. Because we justify our hard work and our workaholic ways. We're calling it productivity. God is saying, I need you to come back to me. I need you to get over here and live my command for your life. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Father, I pray for people today. I pray for myself today. pray for families today and marriages and moms and kids. That each feel the stress in their own unique ways. Everyone reacts differently, but we all react. Some yell, some go silent. Some rant, others recluse. But everyone reacts. Today, Lord, I'm asking for spiritual rest so that our souls can catch up with our bodies. Even as we sit in this heavenly place, your presence. Ooh. Even as we sit in this hallowed house, Lord, I'm praying that rest would come from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. That our bones would settle. That our breathing would slow. That our heart rate would calm. That our minds would just change their pace. Rest. Rest. I speak rest over every heart in this house. I speak peace to every mind in this place. Supernatural rest. Every student that's overwhelmed with their work and the deadlines and the tests and the questions. Every business owner, every manager, every supervisor, everyone tasked with not only their job, but the responsibility of everyone else's job. Rest. Rest. In Jesus' name. Today we rest so our souls can catch up to our bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.